Nothing like a good soulful song to get us started, amen? You know, I want to say happy feast of Pentecost to all of you. And it's again our parish feast because of our two titles, Holy Comforter and St. Cyprian. Holy Comforter is a title of the Holy Spirit. And here we are in this Church of the Holy Spirit on the great feast of Pentecost. And I want to begin by just saying that we're asking the Holy Spirit of God to breathe on us. And you know, the church was all kind of huddled up. You know, the word Pentecost means 50 days. And it's been 50 days now since the Lord rose from the dead. Easter was 50 days ago. And here on day number 50, the word Pentecost, meaning 50 days, the church has been huddled up. The Lord's been calling the plays. But there comes a moment, I said, there comes a moment, church, when you got to break the huddle and execute the play. And today, the church breaks the huddle and executes the play. And what is the play? Go ye therefore unto all the nations and proclaim my gospel, everything that I've taught you, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Church, I didn't hear the kind of enthusiasm I thought I might get when I said, it's time to break the huddle and execute the play. There's too much huddling up that goes on in churches. Everyone huddles up and they treat the church more like a clubhouse than a lighthouse. They come and just sort of talk to folks they know and go on home and don't say a word about Jesus. Because it's not safe out there. Well, again, today, it's time for us as a parish to continually be reminded that we are not a clubhouse, we're a lighthouse. And I'm glad that we come together. We come together, we huddle up for just a moment, but then we got to break. The deacon's going to say, break, at the end and send us out. Now, I'm going to just say again that today in this Feast of the Holy Spirit, let's first of all say a couple words about not what the Holy Spirit is, but who the Holy Spirit is. Because you see, too many people think of the Holy Spirit as kind of a force. As in, you know, like Star Wars, remember? Luke, let the force be with you. Church, I want to say something. The Holy Spirit's got power, but the Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And to say that the Holy Spirit dwells in you like a temple means to say that the third person of the Blessed Trinity lives in you like a temple. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? How do we understand him? Well, it goes like this. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. And so intense and so real and so alive is that love that it's literally, that he is literally a person. The third person of the Blessed Trinity is the love of God, is the life of God, is the joy of God, is the glory of God, is the whole inner life of God. And to say that the Holy Spirit, that third person, lives in us is to say that we're swept up into the life of God, into the love of God, into the glory and the joy of God. Are you praying with me, church? It's not a force. It's a living, dynamic person who dwells within us, drawing us into the very life of God. Oh, church, happy Feast of Pentecost. And I want to just say that now let's take a look at a couple of images today in the scriptures that teach us a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is. I want you first of all to notice the power of the Holy Spirit in two images. If you will, the rushing wind and also the tongues of fire. Now first of all, the rushing wind. It says that they were all gathered in one place together. Now again, I think you had it told to you at the beginning of Mass. Let's be careful. Sometimes when we show up for Mass, it doesn't really look like we're gathered. It kind of looks like we're scattered. But again, brothers and sisters, they were all gathered in one place. And they were frightened. There were about 120 of them in all. And they were frightened. They were struggling because they had seen the Lord risen, but now he'd gone to heaven and told them to hang out until something happened. But they were frightened. The doors were locked. But then it says, suddenly, a strong, driving wind came into the house. And it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The wind, that driving wind. Now, how is that an image of the Spirit? Well, pay attention. The word Spirit means breath. It means breath. In ancient Hebrew, the word for the Spirit is ruah. And you got to make that ah sound because it's an onomatopoeia. How many of you remember from your grammar days an onomatopoeia? It's a word that sounds like what it is. Ruah, ruah, the breath that comes out as you say ruah. And then the Greeks had the word pneuma, where sometimes you hear words like pneumonia and things that relate to the lungs, right? And then in English comes from the Latin word spiritus. We get words like respiration, breathing. Church, do you understand that they're gathered there? And what happens? God breathes on them. Now, I want to take it one step further and just say to you that Adam and Eve had the Spirit of God, but they lost the Spirit of God, and they became like walking corpses, a dead man and a dead woman walking. And the whole human family was dead in sin. Church, dead means dead. St. Paul says we were dead in our sins. Now, some of you may remember some years ago, and still of course common now, we were trained in cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Now, someone told me they've sort of changed the protocols lately, but I do remember having to learn how to give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. If someone lay dead, they were lying there dead, and you gave them mouth, you breathed life back into them. Well, church, I got news for you. The church was gathered. And all of humanity had been dead in its sins. And God came and gave holy and divine mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That strong driving wind breathing into the church and breathing into everybody there, bringing them back to life. Oh, church, the Spirit of God is the breath of God, and the breath of God is the life of God. One of the ways you know if someone's dead or not is if they're breathing. And so God brought us back to life by putting His breath, His Spirit back in us. Are you praying with me today, church? The Holy Spirit, then, the first power of the Spirit is to bring us back to life. I'm going to say it again. We were dead in our sins, but Jesus Christ died and rose and poured forth His Spirit. He breathed life back into us. And not just any life, His breath. The Spirit of God now is in you, breathing God's life, His love, His joy, and His glory. Get in sync with the breath of God. You know, one of the things and one of the techniques in prayer that may sound a little Eastern, but it's still a very good technique. When you settle down to pray, focus on your breathing for a moment or two. Get in sync with God, the Holy Spirit, breathing in you. breathing love, receiving love, breathing love, receiving love, breathing life, receiving life. That's the Spirit of God praying in you. Now the second image is tongues of fire. Now I want to tell you something about fire. Fire changes everything it touches. Nothing comes away from fire unchanged. Either it comes away warmer, or it's reduced to ashes, or it's purified, or it's set on fire itself. But fire changes everything it touches. Nothing comes away from fire unchanged. I told you that I'm mighty glad to be in a parish where you come every Sunday expecting the Holy Spirit to show up. And He always does. Because this is the church of the Holy Spirit. And old Saint Cyprian up there always opens the door for the Holy Spirit. And every time the Holy Spirit comes, I tell you, I never leave this church unchanged. He's working in my life, and He's changing me. Now, what does this fire of the Holy Spirit do for us? A number of things. First of all, He brings us up to the temperature of glory. Church, the Bible says God is a holy fire. God is the fire of love. And the only way we're ever going to be able to come into God's presence is to already be on fire ourselves. And so God, the Holy Spirit, enters us and sets us on fire to bring us up to the temperature of glory. Oh, church, it'll be a wonderful thing in heaven. A wonderful thing. But I got an old saying that comes like this. It says, hell's hot, but heaven is hotter. Because the fire of God's love dwells there in all of its intensity and all of its glory. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, the seven lampstands burn before God's throne, which is the Spirit of God. And so it is. Heaven is rich and warm with God's love. But you know, in order to tolerate the heat, you got to be on fire yourself. And the Lord says He will do that for us. So the first thing the Spirit comes is to bring us up to the temperature of glory. Anyone today a little warmer than you were about 20 years ago? I want you to know I'm a little warmer today. I know I got a ways to go, but the Lord is turning up the temperature on Charles Pope. Now, I also want to say that the fire of the Holy Spirit burns away and reduces to ashes things like sin and other stuff that just has to go. Things of the world that we cling to, again, that hold us down, whether it's our sins or our struggle with possession, and the Spirit of God burns away and reduces to ashes our sins and our attachments to this world. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit of God is like a refining fire. Now, I don't know if you know much about the process of refining. I know a little bit. I'll just tell you what I know. Now, you know, gold does not usually come out of the earth as a lump of solid, pure gold. Are you praying with me? Usually it comes out all mixed in with things like iron ore and granite and other stuff that folks don't really have much of an interest in. Now, except unless you got those granite countertops. But to get the gold, what they do is they take the stone or the rock, and they melt it in fire. And because the different metals have different densities, they separate out like oil and vinegar do. And you'd skim off the gold and throw away what you don't need. Are you praying with me? You burn away the less desirable things, and you're left with pure gold. Old Job said one day in the Bible, he said, with all of his troubles he's going through, he says, God knows the way I go. And when I come through this fire, I'm coming out as pure gold. Pure gold. Let the Holy Spirit continue to purify you, to take away sin, and what is left is pure gold. To take away sorrow, and what is left is pure gold. To take away fear or bitterness or sensuality or confusion or ignorance, and what is left is pure gold. So the Holy Spirit's power as fire is to bring us up to the temperature of glory, is to reduce sin and our attachment to this world to ashes so they blow away, and to refine and burn away any of the other impurities that still remain. And when he's through, pure gold. Are you praying with me, church? And not only that, we saw the breath of God to bring us back to life. So the Spirit of God, he lives in us, giving us life, drawing us up into the life of God, the love of God, the joy of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, burning away sin, refining us and bringing us up to the temperature of glory. Is the Holy Spirit working in your life, church? Do you have a testimony? I hope you have a testimony. I hope you can say, Father, what you're talking about up there, I see it happening. It's happening in my life. I won't do it again, but I've testified to you before. It's happening in my life. I pray you will be able to testify to others what the Spirit of God is doing for you. And that leads us to the second thing, the proof of the Spirit. We've seen the power of the Spirit. Now comes the proof of the Spirit. Let's just look at it for a moment. Frightened, terrified men and women were gathered in an upper room, 120 in all. Mother Mary is there, and the apostles are there, and some other disciples. They're all there in that upper room, according to the Scripture. And they were afraid. But then, the Spirit of God rushed in like a wind and breathed new life into them and set them on fire. And oh, church, all the fear began to go away. And I have it on the best of authority. I have it on the very best of authority that they started singing an old gospel hymn. Mother Mary started it out, and the apostles picked it up, saying this, I thought I wasn't going to testify, but I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. And I started walking, started talking, started singing, started shouting. Oh, what the Lord has done for me. You see, church, what's happening is this, the proof of the Spirit. They were afraid, all huddled up. Suddenly, the Spirit comes, and the proof that it's not just an emotional experience, the proof, the fear goes away. Break! They break the huddle. They throw open the door, started walking, started talking, singing, and shouting. Oh, what the Lord has done for me. And they go out, and Peter preaches a sermon. Mother Mary's got his back, and John's got his back, and all the 120 are behind him, and he's preaching. And 3,000 people come to Christ that day. The fear is gone. Proof of the Holy Spirit's power. Now, for all of us, that same thing has to happen. We start to see proof in our life of the Holy Spirit's ministry. And one of them that we all do share is fear. Fear. We've been trying to name that demon and let the Holy Spirit put that demon to death in us over the last number of years, looking at how we can be better evangelizers, have greater courage to preach the gospel out in our neighbors' houses, knocking on some doors in the park, reaching back into our families. It takes courage. The Holy Spirit's had to minister to us to take away our fear. Right now, I pray you're working with one soul that the Lord showed you. And you're trying to draw them back to God's house. And you know, there could be fear. Let the Holy Spirit put it to death. You know, it may just be a simple fear. Oh, you know, grandmother, there you go again. Talking about religion. Overcoming the fear, not being dissuaded by that. Whatever it is, though, let the Spirit of God put that fear down. Let the doors go open and start walking, talking, singing, and shouting what the Lord has done for you. If it's not just fear, there's other things. Maybe it's addictions. Maybe it's struggles. Maybe it's hurts of the past. I haven't been able to forgive somebody, Lord, but now I'm starting to feel the grace to let go of the need to change the past. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. However the Spirit is ministering to you, putting down sin, replacing it with joy and hope and confidence, whatever He's doing, get your testimony together. Start to understand. Let the Spirit anoint you to show you what He's doing in your life. For them, the proof was all that fear that locked the door went away, and they had to tell somebody about Jesus. I thought I wasn't going to testify, but I couldn't. I can't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. The final thing I want to say today about this feast, it's not just the power of the Holy Spirit, not just the proof of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the pattern of the Holy Spirit. Listen, church, this feast isn't just for you and me as individuals. It's for the whole church. And I said to you, too many people think that the church is a clubhouse rather than a lighthouse. And too many folks want to just kind of come and huddle up and get a little happiness and go on home. But church, the Lord Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, I have come to cast a fire on the earth. Oh, how I wish the blaze were ignited. And so the Lord died and rose and gave His Spirit to cast fire on the earth. But how does the Holy Spirit cast fire on this earth? How does Jesus set this whole world on fire with His love? How? It's right on the walls of this church. It starts out right above my head in that Latin inscription. You might not remember what it means, but your pastor reads Latin. And I'm just going to tell you, it means simply this. The Spirit of the Lord filled the orb of the earth. The Spirit of the Lord filled the orb of the earth. Now listen, how? How does the Spirit of God fill the orb of the earth? Magic fairy dust? Is that how? Look at that tongue of fire up there, radiating right up there above the Latin. And then look on the walls. Look up through the lights and see over every saint is that same tongue of fire. The way Jesus Christ casts fire on this earth is through you and me and all those saints who come before. Again, the whole theology of the pattern and the mission of the Holy Spirit is all there. The Spirit of the Lord filled the orb of the earth. There's the tongue of the fire. There's the saints. And notice every saint, the name, the date, and the place. I see places, it says up there, England. I see Italy. I don't know, I'm seeing over here Germany. How about Washington, D.C.? How about Laurel, Maryland? How about Columbia? How about Mitchellville? How about Bowie? How about Fort Washington? Come on, church. Are you praying with me? I have come to cast fire on the earth. I want the blaze ignited. How? Look around. The Lord wants to set you on fire and then send you out to spread and start more fires. Are you praying with me? Do people notice that you're passionate? That you're hot with passion? Do they feel the temperature of God's glory and His love coming off of you? Now, I know we have different personalities. We'll all do it in different ways. Some of us are very gentle and approachable. Good listeners and kind. Some people are big blabbermouths like me. get all enthusiastic and jump. But again, whatever your personality, do people feel the warmth, the power of the Holy Spirit? Ask the Holy Spirit to continue to kindle in you a fire that never dies away. As we go out today, the deacon's going to say to us at the end of Mass, break. Yeah, yeah. Go out now and set the world on fire. It all starts here, but it doesn't end here. It only starts here. Okay, church. Today we've seen the power of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the fire of God working in our lives. We've seen the proof of it in the reading today in our own lives. And now the pattern. The Lord wants to spread fire on this earth. Don't just say, well, look what he did through St. Elizabeth up there in 13th century Hungary. How about Charles Pope at 1357 East Capitol? Yeah. One day your picture's supposed to be on some wall of some church. Yeah. Let it be there. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And they're all telling us, we changed the world, not we, Jesus. But he lit a fire in us and we went out. And the whole world changed. We're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. And I tell you, church, I thought I wasn't going to testify, but I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. And that little one back there can't keep it to herself either. Cry out, shout out, God is good and God is glorious, and I've got to tell you what he's done for me. Amen.
Lord, amen. Thank you.